Thank you. All lines are now bridged.
Okay, great. Thank you. Hi, this is Seth Zinsky with the Office of National Coordinator for Health IT. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Interoperability Standards Priorities Task Force meeting. Welcome all. We'll officially call the meeting to order, and we'll start with a roll call before turning to our agenda. I'll just read through names. Please confirm that you're here. Ken Kawamoto?
Here.
Stephen Lane?
Here.
Ricky Bloomberg? Tina Esposito?
Seth, that was Ricky Bloomfield, I believe. And
oh, sorry.
He's on the Adobe Connect.
Okay. Tina Esposito? Tamir Fakiri?
Cynthia Fisher?
Cynthia Fisher, thank you. Valerie Gray? Edward June?
Here.
Anil Jain?
I'm here.
Victor Lee? Les Leonard?
Seth, I'm a little concerned because you're calling names of people who are showing up on the Adobe Connect, but that you're not hearing from. So Tamir Fakiri and Victor Lee are both on the Adobe Connect. I'm wondering if there's some audio problems. Okay.
Okay. Arian Malik. David McCauley. Glenn McDonald. Harry O'Malley.
Here.
Ying Jack Poe.
Here.
Raj Watwani.
Here.
Ram Saram.
Here.
Sasha Termet. Andrew Trescott. Cheryl Turney. Scott Weingarten. Okay. Anyone else that I missed? Okay, thank you. With that, I'll turn it over to Ken and Stephen to start the meeting.
Stephen, do you want to go ahead?
Sure, if you like. Welcome, everybody. And we can see on our site a full list of those who are on, even those who didn't have a chance to verbally acknowledge their participation. So welcome back. You've got the agenda up in front of you. Hopefully everybody can see it. We are going to be reviewing our draft recommendations that hopefully you've all had a chance to take a look at. These were developed through our meetings as well as a couple of smaller meetings with some of you to try to pull the information down into a shorter, more succinct set of observations and recommendations, as well as associated recommended policy levers and responsibilities. So we'll go through that and entertain any specific feedback and hopefully finalize that work so that we can then move on. And then we're going to discuss moving on to a second domain with the group, with the proposal that we will be discussing closed-loop referrals and care coordination, and then we'll have time at the end for public comment. Any comments or suggestions regarding the agenda? If not, let's proceed. I can share the document, I believe. Let me give a shot at that. Let's see if that is successful.
Yep, we see it.
You're seeing it, good. And is it a reasonable size? I increased the size so that we can see it more clearly. Is that filling people's screen, or can it go a little bit bigger?
I think a little bit bigger would be good. I think on a lot of people's screens, it only takes up part of the screen.
How's that? Is that better?
That's better.
Okay, great.
And I think, Stephen, you probably won't be able to see hands, so I'll manage the hands.
Right. Yeah, it's like one or the other. So you wanna walk us through it, Ken, and I'll take notes as we go.
Sure, that sounds good. Okay, so this was circulated a little bit earlier, but these are the draft recommendations we'd like to get input on before we finalize. And then we'll move on after that. Okay, so we did prioritize these. In terms of where we thought the most effort and weight should go. So the first one, first priority was around the observation, the not all results sent to clinicians. Sorry, this is the, am I looking at the right one?
Yeah, we put them in chronological order, I believe. There we go. Here, this is the first one.
Perfect. Yes, got it. Okay. Confused for a second. Okay. So the first one was that laboratory and other test results are not consistently encoded with appropriate standard codes. Again, the observation here was to our best estimate, if you look at things like lab results, it may be that only about half of these results are not coded in the results part. Recommendations first, and we'll go through this, I think, fairly deliberately and slowly just to make sure folks agree with this. The first one is that standard LOINC and SNOMED CT coding must be provided by resulting agencies, such as labs, imaging centers, and providers, as a CLIA requirement. So making that actually something that's required by CLIA. If this is ineffective in delivering data, this could be made a CMS condition of payment. So the idea here is start with CLIA and then move on if needed to CMS. Next is to identify and prioritize the most common and important results of each order type. Consider priorities of multiple stakeholders and use cases, such as patients, clinicians, population health management, payers, quality, safety, public health, and research. Require and enforce the use of information models and terminology standards for all test orders and results. Priority should be on the test identification, numeric test results, and free text results. Mapped codes must be included with the results as they're maintained in and exchanged between health IT systems. EHRs and laboratory information systems should provide a mechanism that allow clients to map internal results codes to standard vocabularies, and implement mechanisms to ensure proper LOINC encoding by resulting agencies, such as auditing or certification by CLIA. So those are the recommendations, and then we have comments here on the policy levers and responsibility. And I think of all the recommendations, probably the most, I'd say, important one is that, I would say, is that first one about really having some mechanism to ensure that it does, in fact, get done. I don't know, Stephen, Ari, and others, whether you want to comment on these before we move on to the policy levers and responsibility.
Well, I'll just say, you know, a number of people worked hard to boil these down to this relatively short list, and I guess, I don't know, this might be a good time to stop and get comments or feedback on this.
Any comments from folks? And if you can't raise your hand on the Adobe, okay. I see a hand up from Dhiraj. Terry?
Yeah, I think this is my really nice job. I guess a slight change in emphasis, if anything else, and perhaps being a little bit more interventionist. I think we might want to look at ways that we can make it easy for people to do the right thing, because right now it's easy for them to do the wrong thing. Maybe this may go more with the local codes that you're going to come to very quickly, but figuring out ways that we can do the work for the end users so they don't have to spend a lot of time and energy trying to do their mapping, taking on standardized code sets, that all that work gets done so that the point is that they're just given the things that they can do, and we'd make it as easy for them as possible to do the right thing. But I think what we've come up with now is it's not easy to do the right thing, which is why we've got what we got.
So I think, Terry, we addressed that in the prioritization of coding at the source. That first recommendation was that the resulting agency be required by CLIA or other means to do that coding, which I think gets at what you're saying. Was there something else in there?
Well, it's not so much requiring it. It's requiring it and then really making the resources available for them to do it. I'm having a hard time articulating. My cold has got the best of my brain. But it's really to make it as easy as possible for people to do the right thing rather than just require them to do the right thing. I guess that's the slight difference.
Thanks. Are there other comments?
Very much.
I think that makes sense, but can you elaborate? I guess it theoretically makes sense. Do you have a specific example of how that could be done?
Well, no, this is winging it for sure. But, say there's a lot of places have their own internal either proprietary codes or local codes that they use to run their internal machinery. So how are they going to do the mapping that actually gets their local codes mapped to the broadly shared semantic standards, like SNOMED? How are they going to do that? I mean, and make sure that it's done to spec. Part of it is regulation and requirements and sort of provision, but the other part might be really to provide some of the resources, either the expertise or the actual code sets or the actual process to do it. I'm just trying to move it away from just straight regulation to really facilitation.
So I just inserted a word here in this bottom bullet, implement mechanisms to support and ensure proper link encoding by resulting agencies. I don't know how much more depth we can go into, but I think you make a good point.
No,
I actually really like that point. I just realized that one of the things that sometimes is very frustrating for us is when the labs have proprietary mappings, and they specifically say that they own those mappings, and you're not allowed to release any type of mapping tables, even though many of us in separate institutions have built those mappings. It would be great if one of the things that we say are that these mappings cannot be, somehow held as proprietary IP or something else, so that knowledge sharing is purposely blocked.
That's a good point. Who would be responsible for that? Maybe this brings us to this the next cell over, which is the responsibility. So maybe Ken, do you want to go through the responsibilities that we've envisioned here, and we can figure out where that would go? I think that's
yeah.
a great idea, that notion of transparent knowledge sharing.
Yeah, let's do that. And just as an administrative point, sorry, I got confused there for a second. If you're a participant list on the participant list, if you can raise your hand only if you're a member of the task force, we'll have time for non-task force participant comments specifically later on. Okay, so with this set of recommendations, we had some policy levers and responsibility, and Arian was instrumental in really helping us figure this out as well. So ONC-wise, potential responsibility, things to do, use available EHR data sources to assess current compliance with the LRI specs and low-income SNOMED encoding to identify areas for additional focus. And I think a number of our EHR vendor colleagues on the task force can help with that. Work with HL7 and industry stakeholders to create a laboratory results interface companion guide for HL7 medical document management and associated context and terminology standards to allow standards-based exchange of textual reports. Continue to work with CMS, CDC, and associated industry stakeholders to harmonize information models and terminology standards to electronic clinical quality measures, definitions, and reportable disease requirements. Continue coordination with FDA, CLIA, and NLM to establish mappings between the output of analyte devices and link terms. And if you have comments, we can pause at each stakeholder. We can just keep going if nobody has comments. Okay. FDA, continue to promote the use of link in diagnostic device approval and oversight. CMS, establish safe harbors. Or fast lanes for achieving CLIA quality obligations through delivery of HHS endorsed standard space results, e.g. LRI with link encoding, electronically to certified EHRs. There was some concern that this was an issue. Also require certification under CLIA to HHS endorsed standard space results, such as LRI with link encoding. And should above steps be insufficient to promoting standards-based interoperability, require certification as a condition of payment. Okay, so let's go ahead and pause there. Stephen, any comments? Members of the task force, any comments? Okay, shall we move on to the next set? All right, the next observation is that not all results sent to clinicians, not results are sent to clinicians in codified format with the necessary metadata to allow integration and utilization in EHRs. So that's the observation. Recommendations, utilize USCDI to assure the prioritized results are interoperable. Via HL7V2 messages where applicable, CCDA and FHIR. Prioritize complete and accurate coding at the data source, such as the LIS, rather than trying to code or correct externally sourced data downstream. So this was a fairly, I think, universal observation from folks that the folks upstream know best what's the appropriate code. Require that resulting agencies provide standardized metadata, such as for methodology units and normal range, to ordering and copy to providers. And standard metadata must be maintained as results data is transmitted between systems, so that all the effort used to generate them don't get lost along the way. Policy levers and responsibility for ONC. Work with HL7 industry stakeholders to map and harmonize U.S. core data for interoperability to LRI, laboratory order interface, and associated implementation guidance. And Argonaut profiles Smart on FHIR and support end-to-end stakeholder testing of discrete lab results and report transmission of providers and patients. CMS established guidance promoting use of standards, LRI, LOINC, and others with certified health information technology to address laboratory requirements for accurate reporting. Include laboratory and other result transmittal requirements and advanced alternative payment model program requirements, such as requiring Medicare Savings Program applicants to specify how provider participants will receive standards based on electronic laboratory results, and to reconsider the notion that there's a topped-out nature for electronic laboratory receipt in the merit-based incentive payment system program. Previous requirements address receipt or entry of electronic laboratory information, but not the structure, content, and terminology associated with such receipt, which should be reintroduced. And others in the federal agencies require use of standards-based laboratory receipt in VA, DOD, military, health service, Indian Health Service, and other applicable federal provider organizations. So we'll pause there. Comments, additions, et cetera, on these? And
Steven, hello, can you hear me? How it is?
Yes. We can hear you, and if you're on the web meeting as well, we'd prefer hand up if that's possible too. Okay, please go ahead.
No, it's okay. I'm just trying to raise my hand. I'm fine. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay. Jack, did you want to go? Or is this Ram?
Oh, this is Ram here. So I don't know who else is before me, so I'll wait for my...
Yes, Ram, please go ahead.
No, I'm just wondering, one of the things in all these things is to do the testing part of it. Like, how do you know these things work the way they're supposed to work? I mean, you have, a number of standards, and how do you test the conformance of the standards once they're implemented? And someone has to develop some of the things we do for ONC, I guess, on the meaningful use test methods.
Yeah,
that's a good point. So who would be the appropriate responsible party for such
testing? I believe we have a testing program here at NIST, so we could use that.
Yeah. So should we put in NIST as a as an agency that could potentially do this?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, depends.
And would it be CMS's responsibility to require that?
Yeah.
So we could put under CMS.
Mm-hmm.
And the notion of testing was also in the earlier recommendation we covered as well.
Mm-hmm.
This notion of, well, if we say this is how something should be done, who actually verifies that it's being done, I think is, it crosses these, right? Cause,
yeah.
So maybe that can be an understood thing, but...
So
maybe even should we add on that one, this recommendation, or this should be done right after that sentence, like just along with it, this should be done really where any kind of technical, compliance or alignment is required. Right, because we do have right above this also the notion that it should be tested. I don't know if that makes
right.
sense.
I'm thinking in the recommendations field, we should add a recommendation to require testing, testing and certification.
I'll take the work with NIST part, and I'm going to add it to the CMS part above.
Okay.
Just because it seems reasonable to... make sure that what we're seeking actually gets done.
Thanks, Ram. Good suggestion.
Okay. Thank you.
So I'm not sure, where did you add that, Ken?
I added it to
I put it. Up above.
I added the very top one.
Here. Yeah. Got it. Okay, good. All right. Shall we move on then to row 4, our third priority 1?
Yeah. Okay. So for this one, not all results are available for patients to view and receive. So there's a gap there. Recommendations require that ordering providers make results available to patients or proxies. Their proxies within a reasonable time frame is allowed by state laws, assuring that where appropriate providers have an appropriate opportunity to review and comment on results to facilitate patient interpretation. Make results in the EHR, all results in the EHR available to patients via application programming interfaces, whether or not results are link encoded. In the future, consider requiring resulting agencies to make results available directly to patients. This could initially be required via CLIA regulations. As necessary, this could be required as a condition of payment for resulting agencies. Need clarification and alignment of state and federal policies to assure consistent and predictable data accessibility and interoperability. And the policy leaders' responsibility here is for CMS. Make patient access to data via APIs a required measure for relevant programs. Augment program requirements to include receipt of information in other standardized structured formats, such as CCDA, similar to API requirements, and continue to promote patient access and API requirements using certified health IT. Ricky, you have a comment. Ricky, if you're talking, you're muted.
And we didn't hear Ricky say he was here at the very beginning, so I think we may have an audio problem for Ricky. I don't know if he can put comments into the chat, perhaps.
Yes. Ricky, we can't hear you. You can either chat your comment. You could also, and you're here and not muted. Okay. Did you call into the... line on the calendar appointment and state your name. It's the one for speakers. I wonder if. Okay.
While we're sorting that out, Ken, I think we should share the feedback that we got from Sasha, who was unable to join us today on this particular recommendation, and that is that she said that. She thought that it would be helpful to see if there are steps that could be taken to standardize policies across the states on what is permitted to be released electronically. She said further, even a strong recommendation that states could be pushed to adhere to might be useful, or a clear mapping of what each state expects. So I thought that we should probably incorporate some of this. We asked for clarification in the recommendation, the final bullet there, but I think she's going a little bit further, and I was trying to think about how we should incorporate that.
It sounds like, thanks, and I think that is in the bottom of the recommendations there.
Right, but clarification and alignment is a little bit different than standardization or strong recommendations. And I guess I'm not sure whether we should change that language at all and or add a specific recommendation to CMS about that. Not sure who would do that. I don't know how this works legally. If CMS makes is CMS in a position to make requirements in this regard that would potentially trump state laws? I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, why don't we tackle that one at a time? So recommendations-wise, the bottom one, do we need to edit that at all?
think it covers it, but should we just change just the need to do it?
Well, maybe clarification isn't the right word. We recommend alignment of state and federal policies. I mean, that's the, and then we can perhaps add to that. So we can perhaps be more specific that this should Sasha referred to it as mapping of what each state expects. I mean, I think a clear articulation of varying state requirements is important.
This is Cynthia Fisher. I mean, you could get bogged down in a continually changing play. For clarification, did the federal standard supersede or overrule the state for consistency across the country? So that, and then sometimes even hospitals or places will put their own restrictions that end up being more like information blocking. So how do we make sure that, you know, the purposes for the sharing and in a machine readable and human readable format and consistent? So just a question, how do we have that across our country in a standard?
Yeah, thanks, Cynthia. I think in terms of, you know, the format and such, I believe there's no state-specific regulations, say, on formatting. I think it's probably around the access requirements and disclosure requirements, I think. At least that's my understanding. I don't know if others know. When I see Ricky is back on. Ricky, thanks for waiting. Did you want to comment on this topic as well?
Sure. Can you hear me now?
We can.
Yes. Welcome.
Excellent. Thank you. I think there was confusion. They asked if I was a speaker, and I guess that really means task force member. So there was some confusion, which didn't happen on previous calls. So my comment was, I think, in the area of patients receiving data, one of the issues that's present there is that the patient listed a title for the lab can be very inconsistent between different laboratories and or health systems. And so there may be some benefit in aligning around a consumer-friendly title for the labs. And LOINC has some efforts in this area. But getting folks to buy into this and use the same title would be very helpful in order to have a consistent message for the consumers who receive the labs. Right now, some use long common name, some use their own internal terminologies, but it isn't consistent. So if we could make a recommendation to align around that, well, first of all, to either work with LOINC or another entity to create such a list and then align around use of that list, I think that would be helpful for consumers.
That's a really good point, Ricky. I'm going to try to capture that here as another recommendation. While I'm doing that, I want to point out that I did make some changes to the last bullet there based on Cynthia's and others' comments to see what you think of that.
And Ricky, this is Cynthia. I think that's an excellent point, too. Thank you for your comment.
Sure, no problem.
I wonder if this should be with this one or whether it should be with the, well, it fits under many places. It could also fit under the earlier recommendations as well. But
I'm almost inclined to make it a separate item because just simply receiving data and then the format of the data are two related but separate items. I'll leave it up to the committee to decide how you want to do that. But it could be seen as a sub-bullet or a separate item.
Yeah, I wonder if this one fits under the just the first one, not consistently encoded with appropriate standard codes. I mean, because, Ricky, well, you're getting at the fact that, for example, Link has, you know, standard Link long names and short names and stuff, but they don't have a patient-friendly name. So every institution sort of does it on their own.
Right. So it's really lack of a standard agreement. So it's lack of a standard and then lack of application of a standard that doesn't yet exist.
So
I mean, I do think this is the right. Sorry, Cynthia, go ahead.
He was saying a standard consumer nomenclature along with the code.
Yeah.
Maybe having it as a separate item that you have to have a consistent code and you have to have the code named a consistent standard consumer nomenclature or terminology.
Well, yes. And then, I think the patient-friendly result display names, I think, do capture that. I think it's result display names to patients. And I don't, standards, Link doesn't really have a standard in this area, right? Would it be based on, asked to be developed?
I thought Ricky said that Link actually, he believes that Link does.
They published like an alpha draft this summer, I believe, for patient-friendly terms. It's very, very early, but I think they're very open to feedback on that. So there is something that they've started.
Okay.
Dan can give you more information on that. Daniel?
Yeah, we've reached back out to Daniel to join us at the full HITECH meeting for our discussion of this. I think a lot of really these recommendations are based on the excellent presentation and information that he shared with us about the real progress that Link has made in many of these areas, but that they have not yet seen fully embraced. So I think we're really building on that work here.
Yeah. And then I just made some small edits to this based on this feedback. So under column B, I added effectively to not all results available patients to view, receive, and utilize, with the assumption that when by saying to effectively view, receive, and utilize, just the one row above, that that's right, like patients understanding what they're looking at is kind of important. They certainly don't want to see a Link long name. I don't think anybody would ever show that to patients, but I could be wrong. And then under recommendations, I just added in process for the Link standards. Ricky, did you have thoughts on it? I guess on any particular policy levers or responsibility you wanted associated or recommended associated with that? I mean, do you feel like Link will just do this and continue to do this and we just need to raise awareness of it and sort of point it, or what were you thinking?
My sense is that Link would be open to collaboration around this, and if it doesn't fit anywhere else, then I think that makes sense for folks to engage there. I think the question is, will independent entities do that on their own, EHR vendors and health systems, or would it require some incentive? My sense is that they would probably do that on their own if there was a good list available or if it was almost done and they could just weigh in. So I don't think it would require too much. I think the question is, it would require change, a slight change in workflow to how they currently do things with their own name. So there would need to be enough awareness at the health system level to say, oh, there's a new list and I need to implement it. And it may have to go through legal and compliance review, et cetera. And I think that could be tied to coding system use and application of coding system, as was mentioned in the first item here. I don't know that I'd create a separate set of incentives for it.
So I'm going to just start editing something here. I'm going to say ONC facilitate completion and maturation with relevant stakeholder feedback of ongoing LOINC work to define patient-friendly result display names and encourage and facilitate use of these terms for patient-facing purposes. And so I think that I tried to capture what we just discussed, and I would assume if, for example, it's there's been peer review and it can be not just like a, you know, a pilot project kind of content, but it's been a validated and embedded list, folks would feel much more comfortable using it, I think. Does that work?
Yeah, I think that's very reasonable.
I'll also point out that as part of this discussion, I made some minor changes here in the observation in 4B. I expanded this a little bit. Not all results available for patients' proxies to effectively view, receive, and utilize. I think going to what Cynthia's point about this human and machine readable formats.
Jack, you have your hand up?
Add a little bit to Ricky's point. So in, you know, at Google, we use something like called schema.org, which is a place where a lot of folks can edit and sort of dump these mappings, not in the healthcare space traditionally. Traditionally, we do it in movies and other types of things. I feel like something like that might be very helpful if it's something that the ONC is willing to maintain, because I think similarly for patients' name mappings, I assume that many of us, whether it's at a place like Google or when I was at Columbia or at other institutions, actually already have some of those mappings that exist. It would be really helpful if there's some place that facilitates getting these things together, even if it's not even if they don't have a regulatory power to enforce it. Because to Ricky's point, I think a lot of folks would actually use it if it's mostly complete.
That seems to me like maybe a higher level comment around how to, you know, better crowdsource those kind of mappings. I wonder if that should go into the separate document we had, Stephen. Where we just had sort of these higher level comments that we want to communicate, but
that's a good. I think that's a good place for it, right? We're trying to keep this very directed at recommendations and specific requirements. So, but I do think that that's a point worth capturing.
I'm going to just look into that one.
Okay, that makes sense. Also, I have a 5-week-old, and that's who you're hearing screaming.
Congratulations.
I'm pressed her on.
she or he is welcome.
Great.
Let's go on to our next first top priority recommendation.
Yes, let's do that. The next one is orderable tests are not standardized between systems and lack mapping to standard terminologies. So the recommendations here are develop standards-based catalogs of orderable tests with consistent mapping to associated code sets. Utilize this consensus development process to develop standard orderables for the most common and important tests of each order type, including the orders that link to prioritized results. Standardize commonly used order panels building on the about 2,000 order panels currently cataloged by LOINC. So on the resultable side, there's been a lot of, I think, work. This is getting at the orderable side. And maybe should we clarify here, Stephen, a little bit what the scope we're recommending here? We're saying tests, so not procedures that are not diagnostic procedures. How should we do any clarification here on what scope beyond laboratory orders, if any, we're doing, or should we clarify that we're meaning here laboratory tests only?
Well, I think further up, we do talk about the test domains. Let me see if we say e.g. labs. No, we don't. Okay, no, I think that's a good idea. I don't think in this document we specify the domains of tests that we're talking about. We talk about the resulting agencies. We say each order type. Maybe this is really where it goes, Ken, because it's at the top here. So we can add e.g. labs, lab imaging, cardiac, pulmonary, neuromuscular. That's usually the list I include. So now we've got this additional clarification. Then I think we can probably assume that would carry over into the rest of the document. Is that reasonable?
This is Cynthia. Should we also include but not limited to, so that it kind of leaves open for conformity?
Yeah, I thought that's what EG meant, but we can change that.
I think it could be specific.
We can be more spelled out.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
I think that sounds good.
So then we can go back down here, and I think it's fair to assume that applies throughout when we talk about order types.
Yeah, that sounds good. So policy levers and responsibility. So for this and the next ones, we don't have anything currently listed. So this is an opportunity for us to have any specific recommendations there as well. And it's not listed here, but I think the consensus we've sort of reached through our discussions is that for lab test orderables, LOINC makes sense. And for LOINC may also be relevant for other orderable tests. Once you get beyond orderable tests, I think SNOMED becomes more prevalent. But we don't have it particularly listed. It just needs to be appropriate ones. Unless I think folks want to say, you know, these should be LOINC. But that seems to be the consensus there. Any particular policy levers or responsibility we want to list with these? There is work that's ongoing. And the question is, how do we want to accelerate?
Hi, this is Cynthia. Just on the standardization as we move toward the future, especially people that have to get repeated labs, it's very helpful to have a layout in our standard for patient information, including the net negotiated pricing. So when you're comparing apples to apples in labs, you can see between an acute care facility versus a LabCorp or Quest, almost 11 times or 23 times pricing difference for the same exact labs. So as consumers, and we move toward consumerism and more transparency, it'd be very helpful that we kind of lay the groundwork for a standard today that will allow for the visibility into pricing tomorrow. So,
yes,
you know, someone can actually have full opt to that. And I've actually been, interestingly enough, working on it for a few consumers, and it's so difficult to get matching on the pricing. And then once you do, a Medicare rate or a LabCorp Quest rate could be 11 to 23 times difference for that consumer. So as they're moving to high deductibles, as they're moving toward consumerism, as we push for transparency, I think this is the time that we could lay that groundwork along with these standards.
Thanks, Cynthia.
Is there a term called consumer decision support? Because on the next row, we talk about CDS, which we need to spell out as clinical decision support. But in my mind, this is really generic. This is support for the ordering provider, potentially support for the person who's involved in scheduling, the support for the consumer with the kind of data you've been talking about. So I think we might want to expand row six here to include various types of decision support and call that one out in particular.
Yeah, and I think the standards are certainly there for invoking, say, when you're about to order something, you have selected a laboratory. It's in progress for being able to display costs. I think my main question is, do we want to tackle this notion of price transparency across different categories of orderables? Because, you know, this obviously is highly relevant, say, to prescription medicines as well, right? Like, you know, what's going to be my deductible when, you know, if I pick it from here versus here, that kind of thing. I wonder, we have, you know, stepping back, one of the top level priorities that we were going to try to tackle in our task force is price transparency and value-based care. I think this use case and this notion of patients being able to know how much something's going to cost and be able to see alternatives, I think fits right in there. I just wonder if we should work on, like, you know, not just lab test order or test orderables, but all orderables in that context.
I think that would be fantastic because we are interviewing consumers and we're videoing them, and the big issue is they have a blindfold to understanding that pricing, and they're afraid to go to the doctor because they can't pay for their only son's Catholic school if they have surprise bill. You know, they don't know what that lab test or that MRI is going to cost. And in fact, I'm filming next week a woman who had to pay a $10,000 MRI when the place around the corner for her three sons that have brain lesions is $300. And that was the Catholic school tuition. So, you know, I think we can actually make a great step forward societally if we make this move now.
Yeah, I agree. And there's been a decent amount of studies around pricing info being, for example, for lab tests being shown to providers. And there was a recent systematic review in the Journal of the American Medical Informatics Association that showed it doesn't seem to impact behavior that much. So I think focusing the cost transparency to patients in addition to providers, I think, is really important.
So I've tried to add some language in both columns B and for this.
This is huge because, frankly, the insurance brokers, you know, our company is self-insured. The insurance brokers and the plans, like the Blue Cross Blue Shield administrators, are selling go for high deductibles. We're pushing consumerism, get your employees to make better choices, though the employees have no optics. So I think this is really a huge move that we can all do. So thank you.
Thanks, Cynthia. I really like how you labeled it, Stephen. Let's see. So we've already sort of moved into that observation. So let's just go ahead and discuss that next. This would be row six.
That's the observation. Need standard methodology to integrate external distance support for clinicians, patients, and other stakeholders into orders workflow. And I guess I'm just going to take out the orders. Orders workflow. That's good. Recommendations leverage the CDS hook standard. Define and support a CDS hook that can be activated when a provider or patient is reviewing a result. So this is a note that this is just oftentimes not available. So that when you're looking at the result, you can't actually get, you know, there's a lot of mechanisms in place when you're ordering something, you can get guidance, but there isn't much, and I'm looking at a result, like I want guidance about this. Develop and support the use of standards to determine and expose cost and pricing information to ordering providers and patients. I think that all sounds good. Any comments on these?
I just think that second bullet is a little granular, so I'm just going to change how we how we have that in there.
Yeah, I like that.
How's that?
I like it. Perfect. And then I think just to make sure we have sufficient time, let's just go through the last two, and then we can spend additional time on policy levers, responsibility, and the next steps as well.
And I think on the policy levers side, Ken, we really captured most of those in the sections above, and I think the thought was that we didn't need to just keep repeating ourselves. So that's why you see them lacking down here. We're just trying to keep the document streamlined.
Okay, I think that's fair. Let's then look through the last two, and then if we think there's anything else that we missed, we can always add. Second from the last, need standards to support prior authorization workflows. There's a number of competing prior auth standard efforts underway, including those listed. These efforts should be harmonized into a consistent approach. And the last observation was need standard interoperable methodology to specify what has been ordered and what is the status of an order. So include in scope all orderables, not just select orderables. Also include order statuses, required component of interoperable metadata, and map priority orderables to standard codes. LI standard could be useful, potentially use link for orderables, NOMED for values. And I think I'm assuming the scope here is still the test orderables. So maybe pause there. Comments about what we have listed. Anything major that folks think we may have missed? Let's pause there.
Cynthia here. Just thinking across the system as we look downstream and we do move toward transparency, as there's a physician order that's standard, you know, how could it be that if we want to think of open APIs and apps being able to show the patient and the doc ultimately in the perfect world the pricing differential of where that patient could go and what it would mean to both the employer or the insurance plan as well as to the net cost to the consumer as well as to the employer. So, I mean, imagine, if you will, if a patient walked across the street and got a $200 lab down the block versus a $3,000 lab at an acute care when it was just an outpatient visit anyway, right? One could be incentivized by their employer to say, we reward you with X amount in increased wages because you saved X amount in not having our healthcare costs go up through good decision support. So I'm just trying to think how we lay this out that both an employer and in the app world, as we get to a standard, can flash those price, that net pricing up for good.
So decisions. Cynthia, I just added here in row six, develop and support the use of standards to determine and expose cost and pricing information to providers, patients, and payers and patients.
Yeah, and if I think we can get to the net pricing, what I know the arguments have been by insurers and the likes, pharma under the word of cost, they use costs as their quote-unquote trade secrets. So if you have the net negotiated price as the terminology or the nomenclature, and we used pricing, I think it would save the pushback from saying, oh, we don't disclose costs. You see what I'm saying? So I think it would serve us well, because then you couldn't get pushback on saying, well, we just want to know what the net price is.
How's that?
I'm not in front of the screen. Sorry.
Sorry. Develop and support the use of standards to determine and expose cost and net pricing information to relevant stakeholders, including providers, payers, and patients.
Yeah, I guess I would even eliminate cost, the word cost, because it gets argued against a lot.
Okay.
It's just net pricing. And the reason why net is because oftentimes when you push on it, they'll give you a charge master list price, and you never get to see the true price. So if we have a net negotiated price, then we see a true price.
And I think go ahead.
No, you finish.
No, I do think this is a very deep topic. I do think, you know, we should – this topic really does deserve us focusing on it specifically, and I think we should touch on it here. I think later on we should circle back on this. It's a pretty complicated field too, right? Because you need to know to really get the right price. You need to know things like, you know, the patient's for things like medications, the patient's current deductibles, and how much they've already paid. And there's a lot of factors at play, and I think the current set of sort of implementations typically are getting towards, if I order it where I said I want to order it, how much it'll cost. I'm not aware of much in the way of, you know, where could I choose from and what would be the differences in cost there, or even ideally when you want to order something, the system saying, just defaulting you to the best option, right? Considering a combination of, you know, price and convenience and all that kind of stuff. It's a pretty deep field. I think,
I think we need
to discuss it more.
I agree. And I just think if we ask for the ability to have some standardized in the net negotiated pricing, then the rest can play out and will happen through developed apps. So we can at least start the groundwork.
So I'd like to, in the interest of time, I'd like to clarify that our goal here was really to come up with a set of recommendations that we are going to now set aside with the intention of moving on to new domains. And then later next year, when we bring together our report, we will come back to these and harmonize them internally with the other domains that we've worked on, and put it together into a larger separate document that we will be reporting back to the HITACH. But what we'd like to do is here, if there's anyone who has any significant reservations about this, and otherwise we'd like to consider this, you know, final for now, and then talk about the next domain that we're going to work on.
That sounds good. Hey, if you're a member of this task force, and in particular, if you have any disagreements or reservations about anything we've stated, can you raise your hand or speak up?
Including the choice of the priorities, you'll notice that we've sorted them into two priorities, one and two, and we very specifically sort of drew a line, feeling that the decision support integration, the prior auth, which is sort of almost a special case of decision support, and the order status, but those were sort of secondary to the highest priority items, which is really getting the data mapped and available and interoperable.
Okay.
Great. Well, hearing none, we will consider this task at a good stopping point. I'm very excited for that, and congratulations to everyone and thanks for all the input you've provided. Ken, do you want to talk about our proposal for the next domain?
Yeah. I think the desired approach that we discussed, I think maybe at the last meeting, was instead of splitting up into different groups, let's continue, I think, this group discussion, just moving on to different domains. The next one, there was a few that were in the next in terms of the initial sort of prioritization matrix and people's thoughts on them. Based on sort of what we found going through this domain, where there was a lot of existing work and a lot of the, I think, value we provided was understanding that and seeing how to promote it, we wanted to propose the next topic. Yes, here it is. And the potential proposed topic is to move on into closed-loop referrals and care coordination. And the thought here is kind of similar to what's going on in the test orderables and resulting domain, where there's been a lot of work, including for the upstream appropriate encoding of test results, et cetera. There's a lot of good work happening here in the closed-loop referral and care coordination space, and that this could be an area where we could really just see what's already ongoing, identify the potential gaps and redirection we can and direction we can help provide and to provide some value. So, Stephen, I don't know if do you want to comment some more on this proposed next domain?
Yeah, I think what we found when we did our prioritization process with the voting was that, you know, there was interest in all of the domains that we looked at, and this one clearly was right near the top. And we did feel that similar to the orders and results, where a lot of work has been done by others, that we can leverage and really, you know, throw our recommendations behind. It seemed that this was a great opportunity. We also felt that it had a lot of potential benefit for patients as well as clinicians in terms of both streamlining the processes around referrals and assuring that those referrals are well informed, that they can be managed efficiently, that the data generated by those referrals is put back to use and is available to patients and providers. So it seemed like a very appropriate next step. And again, a lot of work has been done all the way up through, you know, connectathons and live demos. So it seemed a very appropriate place to focus next. It also seemed like one where it, again, would benefit from us all working together as a single task force, as opposed to breaking out into smaller groups. And we think that we can probably get through it in a relatively small number of meetings. So I think we're interested in hearing whether anyone has any concerns about that approach. And if we are going to move ahead, we have a pretty good plan for how we're going to approach that. Again, bringing Brett back from the ONC to talk about the existing standards. It ends up that he has also been involved in supporting the 360X program over the last few years, and we wanted to bring one of the domain experts from that group to come and talk about the work that they've done and what they see as the current challenges and future opportunities to inform our deliberations and development of recommendations. Any thoughts or comments on that?
Anybody disagree with moving on to this next? Okay, I think we can take that as agreement. If there's nobody who disagrees.
A lot of quiet from our end. So,
well, I'll just note that in our health system. Oh, go ahead.
I was just saying I agree.
Oh, great.
Thank you. I feel better.
I'll note in our health system, this did come up fairly high up in our institutional priority as something that we really wanted to get resolved because it's a big issue for both patients and providers. Okay. Let's see. Could we go to could we go to the next slide? I think we had something related on this.
Yes, this was just something that I saw on Twitter the other day, which I thought was apropos to this discussion. It was striking that it came in just a couple of days before our meeting, somebody mentioning specifically the challenges of information sharing for patients around closed-loop referrals and the siloed nature of the information when patients move between systems. And acknowledging that the technology exists to support the appropriate transmission of data as patients traverse the system through a referral workflow, but we are not assuring that it's used. So I just thought it was worth pointing this out. This is a lively topic in the world.
Okay. If there's no further comments, I think we're ready for a public comment. Any other comments from task force members before we move on? Okay.
Okay, great. So now we'll open the meeting for public comment. Operator, can you please open the public line?
Yes, thank you. If you would like to make a public comment, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press *2 if you would like to remove your comment from the queue. And for participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys.
Do we have any comments in queue?
There are no comments on the phone line.
We did have Dheeraj Pal from NYEC trying to get a word in earlier, and we got some public chat from him or her. Are you here on the line and able to provide us a public comment? So that would be great. A number of comments, in fact.
He's typed in something. Okay. Do you want to provide a comment, Dheeraj?
Dheeraj is typing a comment. We can await that.
Okay. Thank you. As he's good now. Okay, do we have any other comments in the queue?
There are no comments.
Awesome.
Okay.
The next thing.
Ken, Stephen, anything before we close out the meeting?
I guess the one thing that I would add is that we are in line to provide a report back to the HITECH committee when we meet next. And we will plan to present our recommendations. Again, as we said, we're hoping to have our subject matter expert from Regent Street and Loink there to help address any questions that arise. And then we will also
share that we're going to be moving on to work on the referrals. With all of your agreement, we'll go ahead and set up the details for the referrals work. I was thinking of trying to put together another kind of process flow document the way we did with the orders and results, just to try to kind of call out what the various steps are in a referral process, so that we may have that, or the folks from 360X may have already developed that. And then the other thing that I think is worth mentioning is that we've discussed the scope of the orders and referrals the referrals work. And as you saw, we included in the title care coordination, because my personal feeling as a primary care physician is that a referral is sometimes it's just a simple loop. You refer someone out, you know, they get an opinion from a consultant, or they get a procedure performed, and then they come back, and that's the end of it. But oftentimes there is a need and a desirability for ongoing care coordination between multiple members of a care team, or multiple providers, be they physicians, nurses, home care, et cetera. And I think a lot of the issues that arise in the discussion of closed-loop referrals also bears on how we support ongoing care coordination and communications amongst the care team members, specifically what are the technologies to support that communication and coordination of care. So I think as we get into that domain, we will also be looking at some of those questions.
Great. Okay, great. Anything else? Okay. So that, just two quick reminders. One, the next full meeting of the HITECH will be between now and the next meeting of this task force on October 17th, which should be on all of your calendars. And then for the public listening in, you can find the calendar for all the HITECH meetings, as well as the materials that were used for this meeting on healthit.gov. And with that, we'll adjourn the meeting for the day. Thank you all.